What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Beast Mode podcast. My name is Erin Bees. I'm a wife, a mom, a military veteran, and I spent 13 and a half years in multi-level marketing, healed my way out of it. And now I'm using all of my social media platforms to raise awareness and to educate people on the dangers of multi-level marketing companies and the tactics their reps use to try and recruit you. I'm super excited about today because I am going to be talking with the lovely Brittany, and we are going to be talking about pure romance. And I know some of you saw the title, and I know some of you are probably very excited because this actually is a company that I get asked about pretty often. And so I'm excited. Brittany was a part of Pure Romance for 12 years. And so she has a lot to say. And without further ado, Brittany, you want to introduce yourself to the listeners and say hello and all that good stuff.
Sure. So like you said, I was with Pure Romance for 12 years. I joined in 2010, it's very beginning of 2010. And I just left at the beginning of 2022 in January, the end of January. My departure was planned. I kind of had to wait some things out to make that departure happen. Just because I had been in so long, there were lots of loose ends that kind of had to be tied up before I could just dip out. And still it was a process, but it was 12 years with the same company the entire time. I was 19 when I joined.
Oh, wow.
So pretty much my entire adulthood has centered around being part of that company. So for me now, it has been a process of learning how to not involve everything I do around my business or making business goals or trying to focus all of my time on something productive, trying to learn how to just be okay with just being. That's really hard for me. Obviously, I have ADHD as well, that I didn't know about until last year, but it has very much opened my eyes to a lot of the reasons why I have done a lot of the things that I've done or made the choices I've made. And I think that it has a major effect on the reason that I stayed with the company that I stayed with for so long, because people with ADHD, we are constantly searching for that high, that serotonin, that next goal, that next big thing. And the MLM community and the MLM companies really feed that. They really give you that. There's constantly something to work towards. There's constantly a goal to create or a goal to hit, whether it's from the company, whether it's from your own personal team, or whether it's just goals you're setting for yourself for numbers or income or recruits. It's all of those little things together really drive that need for that serotonin boost that people with ADHD thrive on. And so it made me feel like I was this super organized type A personality, which I am to an extent. I'm very much a lists person. The problem is I can make a list all day long. Accomplishing the list is a whole different story. So
do you think that there are a lot of people, just based off your experience, that are in that company, because that's the company that you're a part of, that have undiagnosed ADHD?
Oh, I think there's a lot of people within a lot of companies that have undiagnosed ADHD. I think there's a lot of people in a lot of companies that have undiagnosed neurodiversity across the entire spectrum, which I think is something that has to do with, you know, our generation as a whole, the, you know, millennials and then next generation older from there. And, you know, especially that era between like your Gen Zs and your boomers, kind of, we're all kind of the sandwich in between. And it's, I think there's a lot of unknown for a lot of us. We spent most of our lives just kind of trying to survive to the next day and
yeah,
do what we had to do to get to the next thing and the next thing. And now we're like, oh, like that makes so much sense. So it's kind of, but yeah, I think the MLM culture, we've always said that the MLM culture, you know, thrives on moms and, you know, it preys on the weak and it preys on the vulnerable and all the things. But I think it also preys on people with mental health or neurodiversity issues that maybe don't recognize that in themselves and don't see that that's a unhealthy coping skill.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So let's go back to when you were 19, because this is something that I like to talk about on this podcast, specifically because these companies, just like you said, they prey on vulnerabilities. So for example, you know, people with any kind of disability that can't have a 9-to-5 type job. This is something that's pitched to them, which to me is absolutely crazy because of, and we can talk about this later, the push for stock, the push to do parties, those types of things. Somebody with, you know, some sort of a disability where they don't have, you know, the strength to carry in the stock and things of that nature, they're not going to be able to do this, you know, and anyways, I'm going off track here, but can you look at when you first joined, I mean, you were 19, you were very young. Are there some vulnerability, factors that you can see from that time frame that brought you to Pure Romance? Does that make sense? Oh, I know I'm asking that in a weird way.
A thousand percent. I was a teen mom. So I got pregnant at 16 and had my daughter at 17.
Okay.
I was a single mom. Her dad was in and out for the first couple of years when it was convenient for him, very sporadically. Has been completely out of the picture since she was 5. She's 14 now. My now husband and I met when she was a year old. So we had just moved in together. And had both just moved away from our hometown. We were only about an hour and a half away from our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it was both of our first time living away from like our parents, our safety net, all of that. He was working, I want to say his shift was like 2 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
at one of the local factories. And I was going to school full time. So this was like my job, you could say.
Yeah.
It was my way of feeling like I was contributing something, because I felt bad that he was doing all of the work mm-hmm. while I was going to school, you know, and my daughter wasn't his daughter, and just kind of the complexity of that relationship and how it looked. So yeah, I mean, the vulnerability was like neon flashing lights. You couldn't have probably picked a more vulnerable person. And of course then you have the fact that, like I said, when we were talking earlier, like, I'm not really afraid to say what I'm thinking or to talk to people. I'm socially awkward as heck. If you see me out in public, I'm probably like sitting in a corner by myself just chilling. But if I have a job to do or I'm doing something, I have no problem getting up in front of the room and doing my job. So two ends of the extreme, I guess. So talking about something like sex and vibrators did not scare me. It did not make me uncomfortable or nervous like it would a lot of people. They're like, you want me to sell what?
Yeah.
Like, wait, what? For me, I'm like, okay, let's do this. Like,
yeah,
that sounds fun. So it was like the perfect math equation of just personality and all of the vulnerabilities that there could have been just kind of right in one sandwich. And it's like, here you go.
Yeah. And dangling the hope, you know, the dream in front mm-hmm. of you, like, hey, you could stay home with your kiddo and you can do this. And then you can also be home with your husband. And Yeah. I can relate.
And of course,
to
you know,
all of that.
Single moms get decent tax returns, so you can buy that kit with your tax return.
The tax write-offs, when they actually don't help you at all with taxes, and oh my God, what a mess.
It's a good thing I'm good with numbers. I figured out how to make it work to my benefit with taxes to an extent.
But most people don't.
Most people don't. Yeah. So, but yeah, so no, the vulnerability was definitely there. And I wish I could say it was only once. I actually, about 2 years in, I had a major medical event happen. And I actually, while I was in the hospital, I wasn't able to place my order. So I went inactive because I was in the hospital getting a blood transfusion from emergency surgery. And so,
kind of a big deal.
Of course, all I was upset about was that I didn't get to put my order in.
Yeah.
And I went inactive. So I waited a couple of months and I waited for the next big kit sale. And I bought the biggest kit that they had at the time, which was almost $1,500.
Oh my God.
Not $1,500 in product, $1,500 cost.
That was the cost, not the retail value.
That was the cost.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2 years in, I bought a second kit for $1,500.
Oh, I bet your sponsor was so excited.
Oh, I'm sure she was.
No shade to her. We just know how MLMs work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many parties did you typically do a week? Do you want to talk about the kind of hidden prep stuff with getting ready for parties and then like after party processing and all of that stuff? Because that is something that they don't talk about. And it takes, in my opinion, just as much time as it does to do the actual party.
It takes more time, in my opinion. I spent more time prepping and driving than I ever spent at a party. So when I was doing Pure Romance as my full-time job and was doing nothing else, so like when I was no longer in college, when I was no longer working my full-time job at our local juvenile home, and I was doing this full-time, I did it for 4 years, strictly full-time while my son was little. I was doing 2 to 3 parties a week, every week. If I didn't have 2 to 3 parties every week, I was like frustrated and panicking a little bit.
Yep.
Cause that was my income. And I probably spent, I would say 5 to 8 hours a day in my office.
Easily.
And that's just printing papers, putting
that's
together
actual
my lap
party
boards,
prep.
Like just prepping for like the basic stuff for the party. Mm-hmm. That's not counting the time I spent sitting at my computer inputting anything or, you know, putting my stuff in my tax forms so that I didn't have to do it all in March when I didn't want to do it, or, you know, cleaning anything, the time I had to spend cleaning toys, because that's something you have to make sure that, I mean, I guess maybe not everybody does it, but it was definitely something I made sure
absolutely.
To do. I didn't want to take them from one house to the next and not clean them in between.
Boiling the hot heart massager.
Oh God. The amount of hot heart massagers that I can't tell you how many I just bought more 6-packs of because I was so tired of boiling them at the end of the day. I started just giving them free. Yep. As my free gift at parties. Like we'd play a game and I would just give them the heart massager as their free gift after I opened it for the demo because I was tired of boiling them.
No, I did the same thing.
So
I probably had like maybe two or three in rotation because and especially on days that I would have, I needed it because of there were sometimes I would do 2 parties on Saturdays. And so you needed that extra heart massager. That's crazy. Did you have a team? Yep.
I did for a period. I was never big into recruiting. It's crazy to think that like I was in for 12 years and I never really built a team.
Yeah.
I was always very active within our team. within my sponsor's team. I was on leadership. I helped plan retreats. I helped with trainings. Mm-hmm. I was always one of the big numbers people within the team that would help people with anything numbers related, anything kind of analytical type stuff. But for me personally, building a team just was not something that I put a lot of focus into. I just never felt comfortable. So when I did have a team, it was people that generally came to me first.
Yeah.
I never really sought people out. And I just, I don't know, I could never really get myself to be like, you should join my company. It was always like them expressing interest, and then I would kind of go from there. I think at the most, at any one time, I think my team was about 9.
Okay.
And so my level in the company was considered an associate director.
Okay.
So which would have been like a level 4, maybe. I think keep track, but
the fourth rank.
It was like, yeah, it was around 3rd or 4th rank at the time. Mm-hmm. It's changed. When I first started, it was very basic, like consultant, advanced consultant, senior consultant, and then you went to director, and then up. But then it's changed, and they added levels, and they took levels away, and then they added more. And
it's so weird the changes these companies make. It is, and in my opinion, it is always around money.
Oh, 100%.
And it has nothing to do with the reps.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It always had to do with like what you had to hit that rank, or how many team members you had to maintain to hit that rank, and then that reflected what your bonus was for the month on top of your override if you got one. I couldn't keep track of it. A lot of times I didn't even pay attention to it, and it was like, if I get a bonus on my override, then cool. And if I don't, okay. Like my focus was on how many parties do I have? And you know, if I have a crappy party, then I need to book one more at the end of the month to make up for it. And so it was just a constant cycle of riding the bike of, I need to have parties. And so it was just constant making sure I was booking parties at parties. You know, if I left a party and I didn't book at least 2 more, then it was, okay, who am I contacting to book a party?
Yeah.
To fill the gap from the ones I didn't book. And so, yeah, that was like my sole focus most of the time.
I think I'm going to say the kiss of death. That sounds very dramatic, but I'm going to say the kiss of death for me was when I would have hostesses and all of their friends would book a party. And I would try and space out the parties, but they would want like specific dates, and it would be all the same people going to all of the parties. And maybe there'd be like 1 or 2 new people, but it was like, oh, I know I'm not going to book a ton of parties because they're all the same people. Maybe I would book 1 party, but then that all of those same people are going to go to the same party, and then the traveling back and forth. And
there for a while I did a big like craft and vendor show. I don't even remember how I got recruited to do it or whatever, but it was like 2.5 hours away from home for me.
Yeah.
And they were looking for somebody in Pure Romance to come do it. So I was like, okay, I'll make the drive. I'll go do it. And it was like a big show. So like they generally had over 5,000 people come through each day, and it was a 2-day thing. So I'm like, okay, I'll go do it. And I remember leaving that show with 3 parties like on the books. Like I didn't wait and call them when I got home. Like I booked them right there. I took my big spinning wheel and let them spin for a prize that they would get at their party.
Yep.
And I sold like maybe $200 in product, which most people, when they go do the vendor shows and stuff, they don't even take product. They just focus on bookings.
That's right.
But I'm like, I'm not driving 2.5 hours away from home and not taking product with me to sell. Like,
yeah,
I'm taking some stuff with me to sell. Most of what I sold was like Coochie and Between the Sheets, I think.
Yeah.
Were like the 2 big things.
Yeah.
But I was pleasantly surprised that I even did that, because generally I don't do vendor shows because they don't produce anything with
not a thing
with our company. With our company, bridal shows are iffy, but like vendor shows, nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
No,
and I'm sorry, but bridal shows are not worth it.
No, and in my opinion, any of these kinds of shows, you know, whether it's a craft show, and why do we have MLMs at craft shows? You have people that are making their own jewelry and, you know, just these really cool crafty things because it's a craft fair. And then you have MLM companies that are coming in there.
Yeah. Because 9 times out of 10, the people that run the craft shows sell an MLM.
Absolutely. And they're going to make sure they're the only ones in their company. Mm-hmm. No, this company is, when I was with Slumber Parties, I did a big craft show in New Orleans, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a jewelry show. It was, I remember it being like a jewelry show, but there was a lot of MLMs there. And so I was actually flown in by the owner of Slumber Parties, and we worked that booth for 2 days. Did I get paid for it? No. Did I get any retail sales from it? No, I was representing the company. I was just, even though I everything was paid for, my time was not paid for. I was essentially working for free, being away from my family. And it's funny too, because at the time I was like, oh my God, this is such a great opportunity.
Oh yeah.
You're working for free.
You feel like a celebrity because the company picked you to come represent them to do something. And then like later you're like,
I just worked for free for 2 days.
For free.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah.
Like what other company can call you and be like, hey, can you come work for 2 days for free?
Yep.
And you're like, sure, I'll be there.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that's what these MLMs, one of the things that they capitalize on is, and I think that's why they pick the MLM model, is because instead of paying salespeople, having them on salary or hourly wages as a salesperson, in a traditional retail business model, they can have all of these people advertising for them for free, and they're making chicken scratch, if anything at all.
Oh yeah.
It's 100%. Brilliant if you are somebody that wants to manipulate other people and make money off of the efforts of other people.
Right.
Maybe
5 people in the company actually make money at the top, and then, and then the owners and the CEOs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure the people that answer the phone if I call and need something make more money.
Oh, than I did. I agree with that. Yeah. They're getting paid for their time. They're getting paid for every hour that they spend answering those phone calls from the reps that are not making a whole lot of money. And by the way, I'm going to put the, they have an income disclosure, right? I haven't looked.
They do. I haven't seen one yet for 2021.
Okay. I'm going to put their most recent.
I haven't looked.
That's okay.
But
I'm going to put the most recent in the show notes so that you guys that are listening can see exactly what we're talking about. I don't really feel like we need to spend time talking about that. If you want to see the numbers, you can click on the link in the video in the podcast description so that you guys can look at those numbers. But it's, in my opinion, all income disclosure statements are pretty much going to say the same thing.
Yeah. And most companies will tell you like, well, the income disclosures, or consultants that are still active in the company will try to tell you that income disclosure statements are flawed because you have to take into account that a lot of those people that didn't make anything are people that just bought a kit and then never did anything.
Then don't recruit the people that are just buying the kit for the discount.
And I'm like,
just okay, sell them
so
the product.
So you're openly admitting that you're just selling kits.
Exactly.
A discount. But if they're not doing anything or buying anything, then they're not getting a discount on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was pointless. But then you're also admitting that a large percent of people that sign up are not successful and quit without ever selling anything.
Yes.
So you're
saying the quiet part
kind of oxymoroning yourself in the same sentence without realizing it.
Absolutely.
But I guess if it makes sense in your head, okay. But that's like their big, well, you're just like, they're flawed because of the data that has to be included. But most of those people aren't even actually consultants. They just bought a kit.
Yeah. Like,
but but that counts.
My favorite argument from MLMers is when they say, it's very similar to that, but they're like, hey, what, you know, some people just buy the distributor kit in whatever company because it's a good deal. It's like having a coupon. And it's kind of like, well, but if you know that that person has no intention of building a business of any kind, just sell them the product and keep them as a customer. If you're so worried about this income disclosure statement that comes from your company, maybe stop doing that.
Yeah, they used to really put it got really bad there for a while, several years ago, where it was almost like we couldn't say it out loud, but it was really being pushed to just sell kits as product. Like if you have somebody come in your ordering room and they're going to spend $200 or $300, just sell them one of the kits instead, because it's the same amount of money. And then anything that's not in the kit that they want, then they can get it at that big discount anyway. But like as a numbers person, because I'm a numbers person, it never made sense to me, because I'm like, why would I sell them a kit that they're not going to do anything with? I don't make anything off of a kit. A kit does nothing for me, because they took away our, we used to get like a bonus every month per kit we sold. So like each kit was worth so much on our override. They took that away years ago. So unless they sell something, or you're like up for the next level, like to go up to the next level of an override or something, and you sell and one of the biggest kits that automatically activates somebody.
Yeah.
You don't get anything out of selling a kit. It does nothing for me financially.
Yeah. You get the volume. So why would I... The company the gets volume. The money and the volume.
Yeah. I mean, it goes towards my, it goes towards my team volume and my recruits, but it, they're going to fall off in 60 days. So well, like, what is that doing
with
me?
With another distributor in the company, it's another 1099. That they get to send somebody as a write-off for their company.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the same thing. Everybody, you know, talks about how generous the company is because they give away all these trips and they give away all these prizes and they give away all these things, you know, when we go to trainings and we go to corporate events, and they do the helping hands every year at Christmas time, where they give, they pick like 10 to 15 people to give either money or trips and things too, and they pick consultants that are like struggling or having family issues or different things like that, and so like it's a good idea behind why they're doing it and like how they're deciding who they pick to give the money to. But what people fail to realize is like they're doing it because that's a huge tax write-off for them.
That's right.
The more stuff they give away, the less they have to claim as income.
Yeah. It's same kind reason of they like
give a, free product at product launches.
Yeah. It's kind of like a philanthropist, and that people have known for a long, long time. And then all of a sudden, all of this really horrible stuff comes out, you know, like Ghislaine Maxwell. They were huge. They were huge, and she was huge in philanthropy, along with what's his face, her sidekick. I can't think of it, or she was the sidekick, really. I can't think of his name. Why can I not think of his name?
Why can't
I can't think of his name. She you just guys got know who we're sentence. Talking about.
Yeah. She just got 20 years. Why can't I think of his
she
name?
She did just get 20 years, which, yeah.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
I don't know why I could not remember his name, but they were huge into philanthropy. But then later it was all of this stuff came out, and they basically had this sex ring, you know, and they were pedophiles, you know, and
oh, yeah.
I'm sure everybody listening is probably very aware of that. But this is a similar thing. I'm not saying that anybody in Pure Romance is pedophiles or anything like that, but it's the, on the surface level, we have, look at the good that we're doing. Look at all of this stuff. Look at these people that we're helping with. But under that surface, it's an MLM company. And based on their own income disclosure statement, most people are not making money. It's a way, in my opinion, to hide what they really are.
Right. I mean, a lot of people, I think Walt Disney is kind of another one of those that people, you know, Walt Disney has always been very praised, and Disney has always been this, just this huge icon thing. And then little bits here and there started to come out about like Walt Disney himself and who he really was as a person. And it's like, oh, well, that kind of taints and flaws things a little bit. Yeah. And so it's like two sides of the coin kind of thing. But yeah, with MLMs, it's definitely like, oh yeah, they're so generous and they, you know, they give us these free trips, which there is no such thing as a free trip in an MLM. So let's just, just make sure that's known in the back. I know that everybody has said that 100,000 times, but let me just reiterate it in case you haven't heard it the first 10,000. There is no such thing as a free trip in an MLM. You will pay for something. And it will not be something cheap. So,
and typically that's going to show up on your 1099. You're going to pay the tax on it.
And you will get charged on your 1099 for the free money that you were not given, but that was spent on you for said free trip. So
I know that always makes people really upset that are in an MLM when that is mentioned, because they're like, no, my company wouldn't do that. I'm like, okay, ask them for an itemized 1099. They have to give it to you. If you request it, they have to give it to you.
And it's not hard to look at your numbers. And look at your 1099 and go,
that's right.
And then look at the printout of what you got for your trip, and like the numbers kind of add. I mean, you get taxed on that amount. If you get a 1099, I still never did get mine for 2021.
Really?
Wow. I finally just filed my taxes last week because I had to email corporate. I can't tell you how many times to get a picture snapshot of my end of the year report so that I could file my taxes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about front loading. Because I know, based off of my experience with this company, front loading absolutely does happen.
Oh my gosh. So with Pure Romance, we are trained specifically. And so for anybody that's familiar with Pure Romance and knows Chris at all, or has heard of Chris or heard people talk about Chris, Chris is a business and a numbers person. Okay. So if you go to a training and you spend any amount of time in a classroom with that man, you are going to talk numbers. Okay. You're going to talk business. You're going to talk numbers. He's going to beat numbers into your head until you repeat them in your sleep. And I used to, honestly, it took me a really long time to believe that the company could be, you know, scammy at all, because it's like, how? Chris literally teaches us how to save for retirement. Chris is literally telling us exactly what we need to do to not be broke when we're old. And then you look at all of the things and you're like, oh, just kidding. But from day one, you're literally taught, like, basically the pyramid, ironically, of
he says that
how you should
please tell me he says the pyramid.
It's well, it's a triangle on the board, but
I wish y'all could see my face right now.
It's literally like a triangle diagram on the
it's
board.
It's giving office the office vibes. It's giving
of how you should be splitting your profits to your savings, you know. And then he goes off into his tangent of saving for retirement. And that's how he gets all the husbands really broke in when they go to trainings, you know. It's really like, how can you support your wife and how can you really, you know, do these things and really get them ingrained in the company too. And I mean, there's a whole Men of Pure Romance Facebook group where all of the husbands are in a group and keep in touch and are just like, I mean, my husband's in the group, as far as I know, still in the group. Like it's a whole thing. Like he's friends with several of the husbands from our team specifically. So like, I mean, it's not just the women in Pure Romance. Like there's the men's culture in it too. And like the men have their own specific classes to go to when we go to national training, which is the only training that men are invited to. That's one of like the big events. Sometimes our little market trainings men are invited to. And so, But yeah, I mean, it's, that's where the men kind of get roped in, is the numbers.
Which is the whole point of them having their own things. If the husband is behind their spouse, they're going
to
stay
longer. It's that much harder for us to leave. Yep.
Yes.
So we have, you know, this is how much you should be putting towards savings. Okay. And then this is how much you should be putting back into your business. Right. This, mm-hmm. this is what you should be spending on front loading.
Yep.
Basically. And then this is what you should be keeping for profit or paying yourself. And, you know, we've always gone by the motto, pay yourself first. Mm-hmm. You should always pay yourself first. But let's be honest, who yeah. pays themselves first when they know that they should be carrying at least 1.5 to 2 times their average monthly sales
yep.
in product at all times? Plus we get new products 3 to 4 times a year. Yep. And then we have limited edition flavors or scents or products that come out a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or then you have sales that happen sporadically where you don't want to miss out on product that's 60% off.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to stock up on stuff then. Or I was told, I guess, just a couple weeks ago, they did a big warehouse sale and everything was like 80% off online for the consultants. Like they could go in their back office and pay.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
It was like an extra 40% off whatever their buying discount was. So they were getting stuff for like $4 a piece.
Making room for the new products for
probably. Well, because everything's getting relabeled and repackaged and all of that. They reformulated some stuff, of course, because that happens a lot too. Mm-hmm. So like just from day one, when you buy your kit, you're automatically given a coupon. It's not really a coupon, but it's a coupon for what they call the IAP, which is the Inventory Advantage Program.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm talking about this.
So the Inventory Advantage Program is a program that corporate offers, and it's basically where they give you $1,000 worth of product as inventory. So you buy your kit. Your kit is your product that you can demo at your parties, right? Mm-hmm. That's the product you use for your presentation. And let me be clear, when I use the words demo and presentation, I use them interchangeably.
Mm-hmm.
By no way do I mean demonstrate the products. I mean, like, talk about them to people.
Pass it around. Okay.
I am not demonstrating how anything works personally.
Okay. Absolutely.
Just make that very clear.
No, I'm glad that you.
Some people that. Seem to be confused on that sometimes.
Yes.
I know it has happened in the past where consultants have like allowed people to use enhancement creams with Q-tips in the bathroom and things like that. And so just to be very clear, none of that happening here. So your kit is essentially your presentation kit, and then your IAP is now your stock. It's your product that you can sell to your clients, because people are more likely to buy what they can take home with them that night, because women are impulse shoppers, mm-hmm. right? And our clients and our shoppers are women. Yeah. So we want to feed that impulse shopping habit by carrying product with us so that they'll buy more from us.
That's right.
So we get the IAP, corporate gives it to us. When we purchase the IAP, we only pay tax and shipping for that $1,000 in product. And then we pay corporate $200 a month for 5 months to pay back the cost of the product, or
so bad.
I guess $100 a month for 5 months, because you pay for 50% of the product or whatever. Like they give it to you at a 50% discount.
Yeah, which they is probably cheaper still than make money on it.
Oh yeah, like most consultants come in at between a 30 and a 40% buying discount. Mm-hmm. So they're getting that 50% discount to on that first $1,000 of product. So it's, they're making more money in their pocket right away, which, you know, is how they incentivize it. You already have the product to give to clients. So you're saving on shipping. That's another incentive on it. Mm-hmm. It automatically activates you. So you don't have to place an order for the first 60 days. Plus your sponsor, it gets the credit because you're an automatic activation.
They get some sort of a kickback from these?
Yeah. So for us as a sponsor, unless our recruits activate, they don't count for anything. Like, they don't count towards our numbers. They don't count towards our overrides. They don't count towards our levels. Like, if we don't recruit and activate one person every month, if you're at a certain level or above, sometimes mm-hmm. it's two every month, depending on your level, then you lose your rank. If you don't recruit and activate somebody, you know, you don't get a certain part of your override or your override bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things are hinged on that. You have to recruit and activate somebody every month. And so it's not just about getting somebody to buy a kit, but it's really pushed on getting somebody to activate once they buy that kit. Like, that's the big push.
And Pure Romance is one of those companies where in order for you to move up the ranks, you have to recruit. Just like the majority of MLM companies that are out there, you have to recruit in order to rank advance at some senior consultant. That's one team member.
Well, now it's three because unless they've changed it again.
They could.
They now went to where consultant means you just bought a kit. And then once you activate your advanced consultant, so basically neither of them mean anything.
Yeah. And the company's not missing out on anything because they're getting the sales and the volume from those people that are buying kits.
Right. And then the next level was, I believe, senior consultant, and you had to have three. And then associate director, you had to have six.
That's wild.
And then, and then at one time there was a level where you only had to have one, and then it was three, and then that changed. Then it was three and five. Like, it has bounced all over the place in 12 years. I couldn't even keep up with it. I could pull out all of my annual pamphlets that tell us of our yearly incentive guides and how all the breakdown's going to work, but we'd be here for 6 hours trying to understand all of it because I'm a numbers person, and 9 times out of 10 I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah
okay, whatever, I guess they'll pay me what they pay
quick
me.
Question,
not even worth my stress,
because I wanted to ask you this when we were talking about front loading, but how much stock did you carry into your parties?
My average stock was about $7,500.
Yeah.
And that's low. Like, that's low for most consultants.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was getting at, is like, as far as selling the IEP, is like that front loading mentality starts from day
immediately.
One. Like, we're pushing that you want the IEP, so you have the product on hand. When you sell something, you replace it. You don't just keep the profit in your pocket. So even though you're making that money back, hopefully pretty quickly, if you're booking parties, if you're lucky enough to be booking parties and selling that product quickly before you have to start making payments on it.
Yeah.
You aren't really making a whole lot on it because you're turning around and putting most of the profit in replacing it.
Like,
you know, you're replacing that product and you're not going to get it as cheap the second time because you're not at a 50% buying discount.
Yeah.
So you're, which they do have daily sales frequently. I mean,
daily?
Yeah, online. So corporate offers a daily sale. I would say,
wow,
almost every day with sporadic days off. And then there's some times of the year where they'll go 2 or 3 days without one. And then there's other times where they'll literally just have one every single day. daily sales might range from like an extra 5% off your retail sales. So like whatever's in your cart, if you're at a 40% buying discount, you get your 40% off. And then once your 40% is taken off, whatever's left, then they'll take an extra 5% off that. Or you might get like a buy up a level sale. So if you're at a 35% discount, you buy at 40% that day.
Holy front loading.
Yeah. Sometimes it's buy, you know, this much and get this many free items of a specific item that they're, that they have like overstock of. Sometimes it's, the big one that everybody waited for. It happened at least once a month, sometimes twice, but usually at least once a month, was the 60%, like buy up level, buy at 60% and half price shipping. Mm-hmm. Because anybody who knows anything about Pure Romance knows we got bootied in the shipping department. And it would have been nice if the booty ease was at least free.
Facts.
Because
because when we came over from slumber parties to Pure Romance, the shipping was outrageous.
Oh my
Lord. I couldn't believe it.
On average in 2020 and 2021, I was looking back at it. My average order, I paid $87 for shipping.
God, that's insane. And how, what was your average party, would you say?
My most recent average was around 800.
Okay. So you're paying $87. It's over 10% of your party sales, which
yeah,
some of that's coming out of your profit.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Because we only collect from our clients a set shipping rate. Right now, within, unless the company has changed it since January, most recently it was $8 is what we collected per client order.
And it's still not enough.
For the longest time, it was $7. Mm-hmm. And you'd be amazed the people that complain about it. I don't blame them. It seems like a really large amount to pay for shipping.
Yeah.
And
especially when you have stock and they're going home with the stock, they don't understand the fact that you've already paid the shipping, excuse me, for you to have it there. I think I used to answer that question in the ordering room all the time.
I'd be like,
I pay the shipping to have it here for you to be able to go home with. I've fronted that cost.
Yep.
And then they were like, oh, okay.
Yeah, to explain to people constantly that I prepaid your shipping for you, basically.
Yes.
By having the product here.
Yes.
And if I didn't have the product here, you'd have to order the product online. And the shipping online starts at $9. And then it goes up $1 for every item that you add. So got them to somewhat understand. But luckily for me, before we moved to the house we're in now, our old house, I made really good friends with our UPS driver because we lived there for 9 years. And so he would text me if he wasn't going to make it. We lived in a little bitty town mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere. Like we had gravel roads, maybe 100 houses altogether. And so he would text me if he wasn't going to make it to our town before like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it was like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Cause he knew like
you could
probably have a party. Yeah. And so he'd be like, hey, I'm probably not going to make it there before like 5:30, do you have a party tonight? And
God, that's amazing.
And I'd be like, oh my God, yes. And he's like, okay, I'm going to be in Bedford for the next hour. I'll be here, here, or here. If you want to come find me, I'll get it off the truck for you. And so like, I would just go track him down the next town over and get my stuff off the truck. So I'd have it for my party.
Yeah.
But it's like, not everybody had that luxury of doing that, but we talked about it one time and he's like, yeah, these boxes don't cost anywhere near what they charge you for shipping to ship. And I'm like, oh, I know they're offloading a lot of the cost on the overseas shipment that they pay to have the product and the packaging and all of that brought to them off onto us when they ship it to us.
Yeah. Cause the company doesn't want to lose that money.
Mm-mm.
Yikes. Question about the, what did you call it? The IEP, the inventory.
IAP. Inventory Advantage Program.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When the reps make the $200 payments, is there interest on those payments?
No.
Well, I guess
surprisingly,
that's a plus. I know I was fully expecting there to be some sort of an interest.
No, surprisingly, there's not. There's a couple different of the IAPs that they do. So they have the one that's available to brand new consultants. And then sporadically throughout the year, they'll come out with some that are available to consultants that have hit like a certain number of sales so far in the year. So like if you've hit $1,000 in sales for the year, you'll be eligible for the IAP when it comes available for the year. And sometimes that one will be like a little bit bigger of a kit than what the original starter IAP is. And then for a while, they haven't done it in a really long time. It's been a couple of years, I would say probably before COVID. But we used to have the PYOP, which is pick your own plan. And that was where they would literally just put $1,000 on your back office and you could buy whatever you wanted product with that $1,000. Which for me at my bang discount, and because I'm a numbers person, I would wait for the best sale to use it, but I would usually be able to get anywhere from $2,000 to $2,400 worth of product out of that $1,000, not counting shipping and tax. But you still, I mean, you still pay it back in payments, obviously. And no, there was never any interest charged on it. But like if you default on a payment or you go inactive and don't make your payments, like they can send it to collections.
It's a loan, essentially.
It's a loan. Yep. It's a loan.
Yeah.
And I know they do the same thing. I don't think it's offered to everybody, but I know there's a select few that were offered the same kind of plan with the new party vans or buses.
Oh my God.
Bought a fleet of them. So rather than customers having to go out or clients have, consultants having to go out and find their own like party
Splinter vans kind of thing
to have them customized to make them their own party buses. Corporate bought a huge fleet of them and had them like pre-made up. And then they could like pick between like three or four different like wrap designs. And then consultants could just
buy it through Pure Romance. I wish y'all could see my face right now. What?
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be amazed how many people jumped right on that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Driving around $74,000.
Oh, no. Oh, my
custom
God. That makes me sick to my stomach to think about this. Oh, my God. That's so wild.
Yeah. I mean, between the cost of the van and then you figure if you're going to drive that thing around, I bet a lot of those people have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth of stock.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking $100,000.
Yeah. I mean, when I was doing parties, specifically with slumber parties, I was carrying probably $13,000 into parties. I mean, I had four of the big like rolling duffel bags. That's what I carried into parties. It's just, I had a toolbox for my demo, the rolling toolboxes. You remember those? I know you do.
Oh yeah. Rolling toolboxes and a gun case for the toys.
Yeah. A gun case. I had that too. Good God. Yep. Yeah.
Been there, done that. So I got to where I stopped carrying a lot of my stock in during parties and I would just carry in certain stuff. And then I would go out to my car and fill orders every three or four orders. I would go out and grab other stuff that I didn't have inside just because
it's a lot of work
to be too much. Like my poor body, I'm not even that old. And I'm just like, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
Or I to an apartment building. Yeah. Same.
I don't even, it's just crazy. Some of the stuff that I know we both did.
I've carried all of my stuff up three flights of stairs to an apartment for like a three-person party that lasted 40 minutes. And
girl, I felt that pain. Like,
God, what
that's awful.
So, it happens to all of us.
Yeah, it really does. Let's talk about how you started to feel. What was it that had you start questioning if you were supposed to be in the company or wanting to get out, that kind of thing. But I really would love to hear about what made you think after 12 years, hey, I think I'm done with this.
Yeah. So I will say that I feel like at least for probably the last 5 years, I wouldn't say that like I was super drinking the Kool-Aid, I guess you could say. I did for a really long time, and I was still very much ingrained with the company. The company was still very much ingrained in my life. I was still very much involved with our team. Like I said, I was one of the leaders on our leadership team. I was one of the people that helped set up retreats. I helped with all of our holiday parties. I went to every national and corporate training that I could. If I didn't get to one, it was because it was too far away or like I was dying on my couch. I was involved in all of the things all of the time. But I think in the back of my head, I always kind of knew that like all of these kinds of sales are kind of spammy. But at the end of the day, I'm like, it's kind of spammy, but like I can go do a party and make $400 in a few hours of work. And like, I can't do that at a regular job. So as much as it's kind of spammy, like it's quick, easy money. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so then until I started really looking at the numbers and looking at everything, and I'm just like, yeah. And so for me, the biggest turning point was during COVID, the choices in some of the products that they started coming out with, and some of the direction the company started going, I was like, wait, we're doing what? Like, what is happening? And then when they decided to completely rebrand everything, which is not the first time since I've been in, because I've been in for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've rebranded at least 4 times that I remember.
Yikes.
Prior to this, I want to say. And by rebranding, I mean like...
I was just going to ask, can you explain what you mean by rebranding?
Right. So by rebranding, I mean like changing the colors, changing our colors, changing the packaging look, changing...
Names.
Names of certain products, changing how certain toys look or what the categories of toys might be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the entire overall look of the aesthetic of everything. So we're going to repackage and rebrand the entire catalog. Everything is going to have a brand new look. We're going to keep 95% of all the same products. Some of them might get new names or new formulations, but for the most part, it's going to be the same, but everything's going to look new and fresh and different.
Yeah.
And of course, then it's, well, then you need to buy a whole new demonstration.
Yep.
And now you need to buy all new
stock
product to sell, because everybody's going to want the new packaging. They're not going to want the old packaging.
Yeah.
And so everybody like, it's fine. You can just sell the old packaging in your flash sale, which don't even get me started on those.
Yeah.
But, those are a front loading, just genius marketing right there.
Yeah. Isn't it exhausting to think about this, to think about all the stuff that we used to do?
Oh my God.
It's exhausting.
If you could see me on a flash sale week, just, I'm pretty sure I probably didn't even look human. My husband would like sneak in the door with a hamburger and be like, I just didn't want you to die.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure something. You were eating something.
Like, yeah, here, eat something.
God, it's die. Nuts. When I think back at some of the stuff that I did and the time that I spent in multiple companies.
Yeah. It's insane. It really is. All for that. I don't even know, for the money, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So then the choice to rebrand, I'm just like, seriously, like we're doing this again. And I'm like, I'm not buying new stuff just because you want to change colors. Like I will still demo my old stuff. I am still going to sell the old stuff. Like when it runs out, I'll buy new, whatever. But like, this is ridiculous. Then came a lot of comments in some of the groups I'm in. A couple of them are specifically training groups. One is a group that's for like associate directors and above that are allowed to like post certain trainings in some of the bigger training groups. And another one is an actual like training group that is used, was used during COVID because we couldn't have trainings, like corporate trainings. So they did all of the training virtually through a Facebook group. So those two groups, I saw several comments happening, but the comments would get deleted rather than answered. And so then I'm in a couple other groups that are like a graphics group or whatever. And so the same questions were kind of getting answered in there, but they weren't getting deleted quite as quickly or shut down quite as quickly. And so rather than commenting on them, because I didn't want to, you know, be part of the issue, I would just reach out to some of those people privately and be like, okay, can you explain to me what's going, like, what is the issue? What is going on? Because I'm not aware of any of this. Like, I think I'm kind of in a bubble here and I missed something. Like, can you explain to me what the frustration is? And so basically around like the packaging and some of the products, a lot of women felt like there was no inclusivity in the products, especially for women that were of color, or that weren't white specifically. They did a lot of like, they brought out two new face care brands. That was two of the things that they brought out. And I'm like, why are we doing face care? Like if I wanted to sell face care, I would sell Mary Kay.
Or another MLM company or that like, carries skincare. Like,
I sell.
It's so weird.
Sexual health products. And my goal is to teach women about their bodies and to give them the confidence and basically the permission to have a healthy sex life because they're allowed to. That was my personal mission with the company. And so I'm like, why are we selling skincare? Like, this is, I don't understand this. And then it was testosterone supplements and metabolism boosters supplements. And I'm like,
why are we,
what
why
does
are we
this
carrying
have to,
all of the
why
things?
Are we doing this? Like, do I understand how metabolism and testosterone relate to sex? Yes, I do. We are not doctors and we should not be coaching women to take any of these things without talking to a doctor first.
Right.
This is not just something you decide to just try because it might help you.
Yeah.
That's not how this works. So like the whole thing just, I did not feel good about, but then I started hearing a lot of women of color complaining about like, none of these new products that they're bringing out for skincare and stuff are compatible with colored skin. Like they're not compatible for Black women. They're not compatible for Hispanic women. They're not compatible for women of different ethnicities. They're formulated for white women. And Black women already feel, you know, unseen within the company as it is. And I felt so bad because I hadn't even realized it. Because there had been a large presence of Black women within the company, and we have our Puerto Rican women in the company. And it's like, I felt like they'd all been very open and like, you know, they have been on boards and, you know, they've, everything has been kind of really inclusive. And now I'm finding out that they don't feel like they've been included. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad. And they said that, you know, they had taken it to the board. Some of the girls from Puerto Rico had taken it to the board. Some of the Black girls had taken it to the board. And like, you know, who was behind the design of the packaging? Because they felt like a lot of it was, I can't remember what it was about the packaging, but there was something about the packaging that they felt like
they were marketing.
Wasn't something. it wasn't something that they felt like they would be able to sell to their clients. Like, it was something that would be attractive to
the eye of certain demographics,
but it would not be attractive to the demographics of Black women specifically. And so they felt like it was going to hinder their ability to sell the products, because that was not going to be packaging that was going to be helpful for them. And so they wanted to know, like, who was behind the designs for this? Like, were there any people on the design committee that designed these that weren't white? Like, were there any mm-hmm. Black people on the board? Were there any Black people on the board that designed the skincare? Were there any people on the board that were Hispanic or Puerto Rican or, you know? And they're just like, they either wouldn't tell us or they just said no and left it at that, whatever. And so I'm like, wow, like, that's so, yeah, we're being quote unquote inclusive by putting more people of diversity on, like, our catalogs
mm-hmm.
and in pictures on our website. But, like, are we really, if we're not even including them in what the products are that we're selling?
Yeah.
So, like, already I'm kind of feeling iffy about the new products. And then I hear about all of this happening and corporate isn't really giving them any answers. And then their questions are getting deleted in the training groups and not even addressed or answered. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really like that. Like, that. Yeah.
Information control straight out of the Bite model.
Right. I mean, you can see it coming, but it's like, that doesn't sit well with me. And then when they came out with the catalog that told us what all was going to be launching next, and it was all health and wellness products, mm-hmm. like
the Pure 21. Is that
the
what
Pure 21?
Oh my God.
And I was just like, I looked at my husband and I said, well,
I'm done.
I
don't blame you one bit.
I said, I refuse to sell this. Yeah. Like, this is ridiculous. Every MLM has the same thing.
Yeah.
I can go find 15 different MLMs that sell a whey protein and a metabolism booster and a fat fighter. Mm-hmm. And, like, give me a break. And $200 for a 30-day supply?
Absolutely not.
No.
You can find a whey protein.
My husband takes whey protein.
Huh?
My husband takes whey protein.
Same.
Like, on a daily basis.
Yeah. I have 2 protein shakes a day because that's what's in alignment with my goals. And it definitely is not costing me whatever portion of that $200, the shake with them. Right. Oh my God, it's crazy.
Well, and they tried to really market it that it's, sorry if you can hear my dog whining in the background.
No, you're fine.
They tried to really market it as, it's not about losing weight. It's about having a healthy relationship with your body.
Well, that's how they're trying to spin it so that it makes sense with the current product line.
And I said, okay.
Oh my God.
But, like, if you're eating based on the healthy eating plan that you guys have designed,
yeah,
and you're working out based on the workout plan that you've designed, and you're doing the Pure 21,
right,
you're going to be losing weight. Right. Or you should be, I would assume.
Yeah, this is all just them trying to capitalize and expand their company in a way that it keeps people in Pure Romance instead of going to health and wellness companies or skincare. Like, we got it all right here. You don't need to go anywhere.
Well, and they literally changed their mission basically to that, is we are the number one women's health and wellness. How did they word it? It's like the number one overall body health and wellness company or something like that. From
according,
like, head
to
toe.
Who?
Right.
Them?
Like, so now basically your mind, your body, and your soul can all be in alignment. And when your mind, body, and soul are all in alignment, then it makes your sex life that much better. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're not wrong that your brain is your number one sex organ. Like we all know this.
Yeah.
Should all know this if you're selling pure romance. Don't get me started on the incorrect education and facts that are talked about because they're plentiful.
I feel your pain.
But yes, your brain is your number one sex organ. And if your energy is not healthy, obviously you're going to struggle with sex. And if your body itself isn't healthy and you're struggling with health issues, you're going to struggle with sex. Like those things all make sense, but who are you as an MLM company to decide what is healthy for someone? And how does washing your face, using some CBD, some essential oils, taking some supplements and using a vibrator equate health and healthy sex? Like,
all cash grabs, in my opinion, complete cash grabs.
You took one concept and tried to like squish it into a formula to make the most money out of it. And it's like,
yeah,
it doesn't work that way. Like, do people even know what testosterone supplements are for? Because I heard a lot of people talking about, oh, my husband can't wait to try them. And I'm like,
but does he need them? Has he seen a doctor?
Because like, if he doesn't need them, he shouldn't be taking them.
Exactly right.
But like, you might need them, because generally testosterone supplements are for women post hysterectomy or after several years of being on birth control, after their hormones are all out of whack. You need testosterone. By the way,
anybody that is listening, please do not take an MLM product trying to solve some sort of a medical issue. Please go seek medical advice from a trained, licensed professional. The MLM reps are just trying to sell a product. And I know that I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but
always. Like, the if I can tell you anything, one thing, like, pure romance consultants are not required in any way, shape, or form to learn anything about proper sexual anatomy, proper sexual health, proper sexual terms. There is no requirement for education.
They just repeat what they learn at the trainings.
Education. Yeah. A lot of them claim to be educators or advocates or whatever. A lot of them claim to have a ton of knowledge. It was always very frustrating for me because I do have a ton of knowledge. I have gone above and beyond to educate myself. And so for me, it's very frustrating when it's like, I felt like I couldn't even say that because it's like, everybody is saying that. So it's kind of pointless. But there is no requirement. Like, you can, when you're a consultant, you can go on the back office and there's a trainings tab and there's like a sexual health tab that you can go to. And it's like 9 categories you can click through to learn from, with some videos and some education on there.
If they
go to trainings, there's usually a handful of sexual health classes if they choose to go to them, because generally there's 4 or 5 classes to choose from all at the same time.
Yeah.
Can't tell you how many people I've heard say, well, why would I go to that class? I'm going to go to this class because they're going to teach me how to sell more product. Like,
they're going to teach me how to recruit.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Because that's where the money is.
You do that. So there is zero requirement in the company of any kind to have any knowledge. I mean, we've had consultants accidentally tell people coochie was edible. I sat in a class, in a training, a corporate training, and had a corporate trainer consultant doing a demo for the training, and was talking about how you can insert the Benoit balls. If you don't know what Benoit balls are, they're the really smaller metal weighted balls that you can insert vaginally for Kegel strength and Kegel exercises. They've been all the rage since 50 Shades of Grey, because, you know, they talk about how he like inserts them and then spanks her. Okay. She was talking about how you can insert them first and then have sex with a partner with a penis or with like a strap on while they're still in, so that you can feel the movement. Yeah, that's a really good way to get a Benoit ball lodged in your vaginal tissue, or to bruise or rupture your cervix, or you know, any other form of medical like
mishap,
damage. Like, this is a corporate trainer up here telling people to do this, and I'm just sitting here going, is somebody gonna say something? Like, is this really freaking happening right now?
Wow.
And so I had to make it a point at our next team meeting to be like,
please don't do that.
Please don't do this.
Wow.
Like, I even confirmed with my local OBGYN just to make sure I wasn't giving wrong information.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't overreacting for nothing, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm right here. No, you can't have sex with them, and like, they can get embedded in your tissue.
Yikes. But
no, you can't do that. I was just so mortified that like, this is something that's being trained at a party, and I'm like, or at a training, and I'm like,
yeah.
It's no wonder that nobody knows what they're talking about, because one, there's no requirement for it. Yep. You know, the company likes to talk about how their consultants are the number one trained sex educators this and sex educators that, and I'm like, no, they're not. They're not even given anything related to sexual health education in their kit. You have to go online to find it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, this was a phenomenal conversation. I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I think that this conversation is going to help a lot of people, and that gets me really excited. So I'm glad that you got out. I'm glad that you're sharing your story. And where are you comfortable having people follow you on Instagram? Can I put your handle in the show notes and stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we all know that Pure Romance is one of those companies that likes to be the shark. So it is what it is, but.
Listen, I've already been sued by them once, so whatever.
I guess if that's what it comes down to, then that's what it comes down to, but they're not going to get much. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
And this entire podcast was based off of your experience, and what we presented is in our opinion. We're not presenting it as fact. We're just sharing an experience. So
yeah. Trust me. I mean, there's a lot more tea I could.
Maybe another time.
Maybe another episode. Get into, but I'd rather not call on too many lawsuits if I don't have to. So.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You guys that are listening, thank you for listening. Make sure that you go and follow Brittany on Instagram. And again, her Instagram is going to be in the show notes. And just appreciate you guys listening, being here. And Brittany, thank you so much. This was awesome. And I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Everybody have a great day, and I will talk with y'all later. Bye, everybody.